Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
And toasters. And with that, I'll say Happy Independence Day. Happy Independence Day to Great Britain, and congratulations on the Brexit. It's welcome to Vito in my chat room today. I'm glad to see you. Boy, I got to tell you, I was listening to Bill Whittle on Right Angle yesterday. They did a special thing, and if you're a follower of Bill Whittle, and you were following him through PJ Media or PJ TV as it used to be, and you're saying, oh my gosh, where did they go? Where did they go? Well, they shut down about a month ago. So Bill Whittle has taken on the torch, as it were, to BillWhittle.com, where he and Scott Ott and Stephen Green are still doing the trifecta, but they call it Right Angle now. So you can look for that if you're suffering a dearth of Bill Whittle-related stuff, and he's still doing the afterburners from BillWhittle.com. But what he said was, I have never been prouder of our parent country than I was when I heard that they decided to exit. And me too, because it says people who believe themselves competent to make their own decisions shouldn't be part of globalization. And it's true, because once everything is globalized, where do you go to get away from that? On a funnier note, at least I find it amusing, one of the things that was happening was that the EU, which was instituted supposedly to make it easier to travel between European countries and to make it so that they all had one currency, so you didn't have to change currencies every time you went between one of these countries and another, and some of them are kind of small, so that would be handy. That would be a convenient thing. But then, of course, the EU got above itself and decided to take unto itself a whole bunch of other authority that they hadn't been granted. Or at least I think they hadn't been granted it, because it's ridiculous. And one of the authorities they had taken on themselves was, in order to curb global warming, man caused global warming, of course, because we just subscribe to all those statistics and studies that were tinkered with so that the scientists, who are perfectly fine people who would never do such a thing because they're all nerds, don't you know, the scientists could get money for their studies because they're giving us what we want to hear. So in order to curb global warming, we are going to ban certain appliances that use too much electricity. They're not efficient enough. And among those are, of course, the best electric teapots and toasters. Now, one of the Brits had joked that he has to push his bread down in the toaster four times before he can get a decent slice of toast in one of the energy-efficient ones they want to force people to use. So basically they were saying, we're going to do this, and oh, it's not going to bug anybody except for Great Britain, really, because nobody else finds tea and toast quite so important. But that's okay, because we can bend the little people to our will, because we know best. We know best. We're the globalists. We know everything. No, you don't. No, you don't. And you're not supposed to. And people can take care of themselves, and they can make their own decisions. Thank you very much. So yay to Britain for the Brexit. And boo, boo to Britain for those people who not only oppose the Brexit, but who are now sporting signs saying that they hope old white people will die. Because apparently old brown people or old yellow people or old red people wouldn't have voted for the Brexit. Really, why? Isn't that a little racist of you? And other measures saying, oh, we should make it so that old people can't vote. Hello, stupid. I mean, I know you're not supposed to call people stupid. It's rude and stuff. But hello, stupid. You're going to be those old people one day if you manage to make it. Oh, those old people, they don't do what's best for Britain. And as I have seen the memes being posted by some of those who did vote for the exit, they're showing memes that say, yeah, we do know what's best for Britain. We fought for what's best for Britain. And you little whippersnappers basically can just shut up and start learning something. Also rude to say shut up. But I mean, really, what kind of world is this? What kind of world is this where young people say, oh, old people should shut up and not be allowed to vote? Do you understand that with age comes wisdom? Does any part of your little brain say, gee, they've been alive longer than I have and have seen the more egregious uses of government maybe, or have seen more stuff than I have, so maybe, just maybe, they ought to know more than me? So you young people in Britain, wake up. Wake up and start asking some of those old people you seem to so despise why they voted to exit. And then maybe look up a little bit of communism, socialism, tyranny, all those sorts of words that don't really mean anything to you because you haven't been taught to stand for anything. You haven't been taught that you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. So, moving on, while Britain is declaring their independence, America is declaring, let's kill more babies and draft women. Yes, that's the thing. They want to make women sign up for the draft. I've said before once, at least once on this show, that a country that does not protect its women and children doesn't deserve to have a future. And they won't. Because women and children are the future of a nation. Now, I could see having a policy like Switzerland does, where everybody must be trained. Everybody has to be trained in the use of firearms, in basic military tactics, and that sort of thing. I can see that. That's reasonable to include women in that, especially for a small country like Switzerland, with mountainous terrain where people can hide and you can, and it make it expensive for people to invade your country. But the U.S. is not a small country, and we have a lot of people, and we have a volunteer military. A volunteer military that our government has taken egregious advantage of by using them for social experimentation. Now, I say, logically, that when you have a voluntary military force, they are not volunteering to have social experiments done on them. They are volunteering to protect their nation. They give up quite a bit to do that. And it is unethical for our government to do anything that affects the rate of people who come home from a conflict out of that military in the negative. Allowing homosexuals to serve openly, that affects that negatively. They did a lot of shady polling and eventually ended up with like 11 people expressing an opinion that it was okay with the troops. You ask those troops out in the combat areas, it wasn't okay with them because it interferes with unit cohesion. And when milliseconds count. You have to be able to trust the people you're out there with. Women do not belong in combat. Ooh, that's not PC. That's so old-fashioned. That's so wrong. No, it's not. I will grant you there may be some exceptions. Of course there are. There are exceptions to every rule. It used to be said that the exception proves the rule. Women do not belong in combat. They are not, in general, as strong as men. If they are injured, they take longer to recover, and they do not recover as fully. In addition, when you add, and I've talked about this when the homosexuality thing came up, when you add the element of sexual tension into a group that's under tremendous pressure already because of the violence they see and the violence they may be involved in at any minute, that's just stupid. Oh, I'm calling a lot of people stupid today. But it is. And then, of course, we have the SCOTUS deciding that it's okay to have unhealthy things because we want to kill babies. We just must kill babies as fast as we can. Have a law. Do the states dare to have a law that says that those facilities that are providing baby-killing services have to be up to snuff medically, have to be clean, that their practitioners have to have admitting privileges at local hospitals? No, we don't have to do that because that might interfere with our ability to kill babies. It's shameful. It's shameful, and not only is it shameful, it was a wrong decision. And I'm going to read you some of the quotes from Justice Thomas regarding this that basically says, okay, folks, the rule of law is dead. The SCOTUS is not supposed to be deciding these things. This is not their, it's not their thing. They are not infallible. If they were infallible, we would still own slaves. Here's the thing. We now have, because the big argument when Roe v. Wade came down was that you couldn't tell when life begins. That was what it was based on. They were deciding when life begins to decide when it was okay for a woman to have an abortion. The thing is that we now have people walking around alive who never spent a single second in the womb of their biological mother. Not one. They were conceived in vitro, frozen as embryos for some poor couple who couldn't have children or who wanted to make sure that they'd have children later in life because, oh, we're putting it off, but everybody can have babies after 40 now, which is not the truth. And then, for some reason, those embryos were put up for adoption because there's a process. You can put your embryos up for adoption. People can adopt your embryos. And then that embryo is implanted in the womb of the non-biological mother, grown throughout the whole process, the whole pregnancy process, given birth to, and that child is alive, walking around today. There are people who adopted embryos. This tells me and should tell everybody in the world that life begins at conception. If the DNA signature alone didn't do it, that should tell you, oh, but it's so inconvenient, a woman shouldn't have to have a baby, she doesn't want to. Well, guess what? Guess what? You don't have to. That baby does not need you to survive. That baby could be implanted in somebody else if you plan it right, and that's the whole thing. Planning. If you don't want to have a baby, don't have sex. That's the bottom line. That's what sex is for. Now I'm getting into a rant, and I'm not supposed to be projecting yet because my voice is still recovering from surgery and will be for a number of months. Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to move on to some of the, this is on thefederalist.com, 8 best quotes from Clarence Thomas on the Texas abortion dissent side. So one, today's opinion does resemble Casey, that's another case. In one respect, after disregarding significant aspects of the court's prior jurisprudence, the majority applies the undue burden standard in a way that will surely mystify lower courts for years to come. Two, judges aren't medical experts. Moreover, by second-guessing medical evidence and making its own assessments of quality of care issues, the majority reappoints this court as the country's ex officio medical board with powers to disapprove medical and operative practices and standards throughout the United States. And the majority seriously burdens states, which must guess at how much more compelling their interests must be to pass muster and what common-sense inferences of an undue burden this court will identify next. 3. Arbitrary standards mess up constitutional law. As the court applies whatever standard it likes to any given case, nothing but empty words separates our constitutional decisions from judicial fiat. 4. The court just makes stuff up to get what it wants. The illegitimacy of using made-up tests to displace long-standing national traditions as the primary determinant of what the Constitution means has long been apparent. The Constitution does not prescribe tiers of scrutiny, the three basic tiers, rational basis, intermediate, and strict scrutiny, are no more scientific than their names suggest. And a further element of randomness is added by the fact that it is largely up to us which test will be applied in each case. But the problem now goes beyond that. If our recent case illustrate anything, it is how easily the court tinkers with levels of scrutiny to achieve its desired result. Muzzling free speech, no problem. Defining marriage, good luck. This is number 5. Likewise, it is now easier for the government to restrict judicial candidates' campaign speech than for the government to define marriage, even though the former is subject to strict scrutiny and the latter was supposedly subject to some form of rational basis review. 6. Made-up rights don't trump those enumerated in the Constitution. The court has simultaneously transformed judicially created rights, like the right to abortion, into preferred constitutional rights, while disfavoring many of the rights actually enumerated in the Constitution. But our Constitution renounces the notion that some constitutional rights are more equal than others. A plaintiff either possesses the constitutional right he is asserting or not, and if not, the judiciary has no business creating ad hoc exceptions so that others can assert rights that seem especially important to vindicate. A law either infringes a constitutional right or not. There is no room for the judiciary to invent tolerable degrees of encroachment. 7. There are too many legal exceptions for these made-up rights. Our law is now so riddled with special exceptions for special rights that our decisions deliver neither predictability nor the promise of a judiciary bound by the rule of law. And 8. Some may call the decision a victory, but it's a loss for America. Today's decision will prompt some to claim victory, just as it will stiffen opponents' will to object. Excuse me. But the entire nation has lost something essential, the majority's embrace of a jurisprudence of right-specific exceptions and balancing tests is a regrettable concession of defeat, an acknowledgement that we have passed the point where law, properly speaking, has any further application. You get that? Do you get that? If we do not have the rule of law in this country, we don't have a country. This country is based on the rule of law. And the rule of law is supposed to be applied across the board to everybody equally. The idea behind this country. So, no more rule of law. Just as Britain declares its independence from the EU, America declares that the rule of law is dead. That makes me unhappy. I'll still fight for it. I'll still fight for it because what else is there to do? I'm going to move on because I'm running out of time here. Religion. I have to ask, are Islam and Christianity the same politically? Are they? Because that's what the left would have you believe. They would have you believe that all religions are evil. All religions are. Of course, except Islam, because you shouldn't be Islamophobic. Because we now equate Islamophobia with homophobia and we don't like to make people feel bad. No, we don't. You can't make people feel bad. Oh, but if they're Christians, you can just dump on them all over the place. Hindus, well, we don't think about them. Buddhists, followers of B'nai B'rith, Animism, we don't even know what that is. Oh, yes, Vito says in the chat room, and thanks for joining me, Vito, and thanks for joining me, person on hold who I think wants to come on, and I may bring you on in just a second. We all pray to the same God, right? No, we don't. The God of Islam is not the same God as the God of Christianity or Judaism. It is a moon god, and just read, people. Pick up a book. Think. Here's the deal. Two men walk into a bank. Both walk in with the intention of withdrawing money. Both have the right to walk in. It's perfectly legal for them to walk into the bank. It's perfectly legal for them to withdraw money if they have a check from somebody with an account there that they are being paid with, or if they have an account there themselves and they're taking out their own money, assuming they have money in. One of the men is going to withdraw money from his own account. Perfectly legal. One of the men is going to use a weapon and demand other people's money and possibly shoot people on the way. Guess which one is Islam in this example? That's right, the bank robber. They look the same going in, they have the same intention, but one of them is violent and horrible and stealing from people what is theirs and what they've worked for. Well, not necessarily worked for, because Christianity is about grace through faith. And one of them is doing things legally. That's the difference. And now I'm going to bring on this caller. It's hello, area code 816.
Hey, stranger.
Howdy, how are you?
Do you know who this is?
It's Thomas.
Absolutely. The visible conservative who's been on hiatus for probably about 2 years from radio politics. But that is because, as the Emperor of Japan said after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, I think we have awakened a sleeping giant. Thus, what has happened with the handing down of the U.S. Supreme Court decision. How do I know this, Mom? Because there is something in the works that, based on the decision that they handed down, is going to shake the core of this country to its knees. Not only is it going to show the absurdity of the decision, but it's going to expose the left for the hypocrites that they are, to the point that it may become necessary for those claiming to be liberal to hide who they are, because what is coming down the pipe, what's going to be exposed, is going to set the American people's blood to boiling. I know what it is because I'm a part of the organizing of it, but it's using the truth. It's nothing violent, nothing like those Black Lives Matter idiots, those cold pink idiots, those who like to use violence and rhetoric because no one agrees with them. We're going to be using the brutal, honest truth. So,
well, you know,
stay tuned.
Thomas, I hope so. I hope so, because what I am seeing is not only here but in Europe as well, that there are groups claiming that they are the anti-fascists, the Black Lives Matter groups, anti-fascist groups, and they are the violent ones. They're claiming that they are the tolerant, loving people who want a tolerant, loving world, but then they go out and do violence. And it just it just says to me, this is what happened in Germany. This is how it happened in Germany. So wake up, folks. Thank you for calling in.
There will not ever be another Nazi Germany, not on my watch. So
excellent. Well, you have
all
a,
right,
thanks
Mom.
For calling in, and
all
best
right.
of fortune with your efforts there. I'm gonna mute you now and go on to my last point.
Okay.
And let's see here. All right, it's not muting you, but that's all right. I guess you can just chime in if you want to later. And I'm moving on to Happy Independence Day, America. even though we are losing the rule of law by leaps and bounds, I am still going to read a little bit of the Declaration of Independence because Independence Day is coming up, and people will say it's July 4th. Everybody has July 4th. What we are celebrating is our independence from Great Britain because they were abusing us. And take your family out for a picnic, enjoy, go to the fireworks, but do this one thing. Read the Declaration of Independence out loud to your family. I'll start you out. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Get that? If you don't have the consent of the governed, then it's not a just power. That makes it tyrannical. Pay attention, Congress. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, which is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations. Usurpations! Are you hearing that, judicial branch? All having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And then it goes on to list all. It's not just taxation without representation, fourth graders. There's like 28 of them. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule unto these colonies. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, substitute Muslims in there, whose jihadist Muslims, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Does that sound familiar to anyone right now? For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent. There's your taxation without representation. But there's a bunch of them. Go, read the Declaration of Independence. Learn your history so you don't have to repeat it. With that, We are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.